You'll want to open up to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. I'm going to skip a couple of these slides, and usually we give stuff away. I'm going to kind of skip that today. Thank you guys also for being patient with all the construction. With all the construction going on back there, if you missed last week, we're totally redoing the playground area, and so new stuff for the kids and some AstroTurf, and it's just going to be a really nice blessing back there. And so thank you for being patient for these next couple of weeks while we're doing that. We're excited about what all that God's doing. Thank God for the school and everybody there. I know people have saved and sacrificed too to help with that. ten years to help get some new playground equipment and things like that. So thank you, God, for that. And so we give thanks for God for everything. Also, we want to just invite you out. Normally we have baptism. We make it a big thing in the ocean, and we have a lot of folks coming. We did have one person that wanted to get baptized in a pool for physical reasons, and we completely understand. And so we're still going to be out there, or it's going to be in the pool. And so if anyone else wants to come to support them, just know that you're welcome. It's just a casual thing. It's going to be at our house. We're just not doing anything fancy. We're grilling up some hot dogs. It's basically it. And we're going to have some prayer time over them, maybe a little bit of worship, but a little bit of prayer time for them, and baptize them in a rededication in Jesus' name. And I'm very, very excited about that. And so you guys are just welcome. And so we would ask that, you know, if you're going to swim after, you would dress appropriately. And so I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But, you know, I'm going to have to say, you know, certain people want to make sure we don't wear their Speedo, Pastor Gary. And he's European. He doesn't know. So it was a request by some of the people. We don't need to talk about it any further, but so there. Also, just make sure you're dressed appropriately. There you go. Also, you guys, last week we had Robbie and Jonathan here. If you missed that, even though we have everybody on vacation this month, it was still packed, and it was a wonderful worship time and a wonderful teaching. And I don't know if it was just me, but that was the best teaching I've heard him give. And it was very touching. It wasn't Jonathan. It was actually Robbie. Brought me to tears. And so I was kind of a little surprised about that. And it was a really beautiful time. So if you missed that, you know, maybe watch it online. We've known them for years. In case you don't know, that's another one. Just like we support Laura as our missionaries and North River, we support Jonathan and all that college ministry. This is what the church, this is where your tithes go. They're going to minister to all these college students. Oh, my word. Elijah, would you grab my keys? And would you please do me a favor? In my Jeep, in the armrest, there's my phone. If you'd be so kind as to grab, I think my keys are there, aren't they? Oh, they're not there. Okay. Well, what do I do with them? Welcome to being the ADD pastor. Okay. So I'll just tell you. All right, they asked me to tell you this. There's a college student. She goes to Ringling. It's one of their leaders. And if you don't know, some of their colleges, Ringling, New College, very expensive. And so it's become too expensive. She's Spanish descent. It's become too expensive for her to live on campus. And so they're trying to see if there are any good Christian homes that can put her up. She said she'd be happy to clean or do things like that around the house to help pay for her way. If there's anyone here, I will have to say there's some wonderful guys with a wonderful heart. So I'm going to have to say if you're a guy and you're a single guy, the answer is just no. We want to avoid the parents of evil. Thank you for your heart. So we're really looking for a woman. And if you have an extra room and you don't mind her living there while she's going to college this year, she can help with cleaning. Jonathan, they're moving to a different home. They said, we would love to take her. We trust her completely. We don't recommend everyone. She's one of our leaders, and she just needs a good, safe place to stay. And so there's zero pressure. But they said, I said, do you want to mention it to your church? She's like, you know what? Yes, you can mention it to them. So if you're interested, come see me and we can talk about it in more detail and you guys can talk it over with them. Sound fair? Okay, and before we get started too, one last thing. We're going to take 1 minute and pray for, I'll say former President Trump, but we're going to take, and we're going to actually pray for him. For those of you who don't know, there was an assassination attempt on his life, and the sniper just, from what I read last night, I didn't get online too long this morning, but it just grazed him. And he just said, it's only by, I think he said something like, only by the grace of God that I wasn't killed. And so we're just going to give thanks to the Lord for his life. And we're going to pray for the president and the former president. And so if you would just join me. So Father, we pray in Jesus' name first for President Biden, Lord, that you would grab hold of his heart. Lord, and that you would make him new. That's what you do, Lord. You save sinners like us, like me. So we're asking you to do a work in his heart, Lord God, and in his life. And we ask that in Jesus' name, Lord. And we also pray for President Trump, Lord. We ask for the same thing for him, Lord. We want to also say thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in his life, Lord God. We thank you that he even chose to thank you. We thank you that he has a heart to protect Christians, Lord, and so I just want to ask your blessing upon him, upon his life. Thank you for sparing it, Lord God, and we know that the elephants or the donkeys don't save. We know you save, Jesus, but we do pray in Jesus' name for protection and for truth and for to use the men you put up there for whatever purposes you choose. Bless them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, so open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. If you remember last week, the Pharisees were, and the Sadducees and the Herodians, excuse me, I should say, were trying to catch Jesus in a trap, trying to catch him in his words, if you remember. There, people were coming to him. People were getting saved And people were realizing that there's a difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here and you're just visiting or whatever, I just want you to know there's a life-changing difference between simply showing up and going to church than giving your heart over to Jesus Christ. He gives you a new heart, a new spirit. He changes the way you think, the way you see things, your direction. It's a supernatural change that he does. God is in the business of not remodeling. He's in the business of renovating from the inside out. That's what he does. And so I just want everyone here to know that God changes lives. And God was changing lives even back then. And so these Pharisees and these Herodians, man, they representing the religious community and the worldly community, they hate him, and they were trying to kill him. And so, at that time, and so they were trying to come up with ways to trick him, to get people to hate him. And so, they said, hey, we know, they gave him lots of praise. We know, teacher, you're a man of integrity. You're not swayed by others, and we know that you teach the way of truth. You know, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Trying to trap him in his words. And if you remember, he took that coin and said, whose image is on it? Caesar's? He said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God is what's God, because we're his image. So give God our hearts and our minds. And so if you remember that, we kind of left off. He had some other questions they were trying to trick him and trap him with. So that's where we left off in Mark chapter 12. Verse 28. And I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to read Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28, and read it hopefully to the end of the chapter, although I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get there. But we're going to do our best to at least get close. So let me do that now. Give me a second. Starting in verse 28 of Mark chapter 12. Read it with me. And feel free to underline your Bible, highlight, make notes as we go through it in a minute. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is hear, O Lord. Excuse me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Verse 32 says, "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one asked him any questions. Verse 35 continues, "While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, How is it that teachers of the law say that the Christ or the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord is my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The crowd listened to him with delight. Let's see if I got any more, if I can do a little bit more. I think I am going to. "As he taught," Jesus said, "watch out for teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the churches and synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers." Then he says, "Such men will be punished most severely." Wow, that's some heavy stuff. I don't think I'm going to be able to get any further than that, so I'm going to stop there, even though there's a few more verses. So let's start off in Mark 12, 28. It says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating." Remember, the Pharisees were trying to trick him, trap him, get the people to hate him. And it says, noticing that Jesus gave him a good answer. He's like, wow, it seems like his heart is right. He asked him, "Of all the commandments then, Jesus, which is the most important?" And that was a great question, you know, and commentators will debate on this, or Bible scholars will debate on this. And is this teacher asking an honest question when he asks this, or is he trying to trap Jesus like the Pharisees were doing? Okay, now it's a good question. The other ones were trying to do that. In Matthew's version, in Matthew chapter 22:35, it says the man was testing Jesus. But like 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, it says to test everything and hold on to what is good. So I think this question and how this man responds, which you'll see in a couple verses, seems different than the Pharisees. In other words, he's like saying, hey, this is a good answer. Hey, that's just an opinion, okay? The word for the teachers of the law here in Greek is grammateus, and it means a scribe or someone who is like a lawyer when it comes to the Bible, okay? A teacher of the law. Now, not all Pharisees were scribes, but they were interpreters and teachers of the law of Moses. So the scribes were like the dominant force in Judaism back in that day. And not only theologically, but socially. You would go to them for legal matters and property and estates or Bible questions. You would kind of go to them for everything. Imagine like a lawyer who was well-versed on everything. That's kind of what they were. Now, to me, this doesn't seem like there's like a secret hidden jab or trying to trap them. Then that's just an opinion, though. Okay, I don't think there's a hostile intention with this question. Just a curiosity on how Jesus would answer, because he studied the law, and there were 613 commandments given by God in the law of Moses. There's 248 positive and 365 negative. And he's probably trying to figure out, wow, he's answering these questions good. He probably knows the Pharisees are trying to trap him and trick him. And a lot of times, can I be honest, now that I'm walking with Jesus, and unfortunately I have to be honest, and you know, there was time when I was unsaved, do you know what I was trying to do? Trap and trick the Christians. I was trying to trip them up. I was trying to make them look stupid. I'm embarrassed about that now. course, now that I'm saved and God's changed my heart and life, I'm like, the mercy God, why he didn't just take a lightning bolt and kazow me, I don't know. But I'm grateful. But he's probably just saying, you know, is he going to disregard some of the, is he going to overemphasize, where is this guy at? It seems like his heart's in the right place. The love of the Lord. So, he understands that he's, from the way he's answering, that he's putting God first. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with this band, Consumed by Fire. Is anybody familiar with them? Sorry, it must just be the cool people. Anyway, you might be familiar with one of their songs. I was going to say their album, their CD. I'm not going to say, I'm not good at singing, but, you know, first things first. Anybody? I can't remember, yeah. Anyway, it's talking about putting first things first in your life, reorganizing your life, reorienting your thought, your heart, and putting God first. It's easy to be like, oh, hey, God bless America and move on with your life. It's a whole other thing when you're asking God to be the Lord of your life. Yeah. It changes everything. And this song, you know what? In fact, if you want to Google it later, you should. But it's talking about putting first things first. Jesus said it this way later. He said it in Matthew chapter 6:33. He said, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything will be added to you as well. In other words, I don't know if you guys know this, but I am legally blind without my glasses. I have special lenses. You can't even tell how thick they are because I have they're special lenses. I pay a lot of money for it. That's a little vanity matter, maybe. But I pay a lot, and I get them extra thinned. Okay, because they're so thick. Otherwise, your pastor would be here up here with the Coke bottle glasses. So I have them specially made, and so I can't see. You guys are all a blur to me. However, when I put these glasses on, I see everything. I see everyone clearly back there. Everyone. And I love it. It's beautiful. All your beautiful faces, okay? And so, but when you seek God first, that's what happens. I'm telling you. It changes your perspective on everything. And Jesus, in response, in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31, he says this. He says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandments greater than these. So all those commandments, boil them all down. All the positives, all the negative, you boil it all down. This is what's most important. Now, that hear, O Israel, the Lord is one, is called the Shema, okay? And it's from the first word. And in Hebrew, it means hear. But it doesn't mean just to listen. It means to hear, to receive, to obey. And so, and it's recited by the Jews, devout Jews, I should say, every morning and evening. And it affirms the truth about God. And in fact, the if you go to Israel, the devout Jews will have a little mezuzah, which is just a little box. And it has this prayer in it. And then on the way in and the way out of their houses, they give it a kiss. Now, you know, just... And now, unfortunately, most of that is just religious ritual. They just do it without even thinking of it. They're missing the heart. God is saying, I want you to focus on the heart. It's very easy to be religious. It's very easy, even for us, if we don't keep our heart in the right perspective, to just go through the motions, right? I go to church. Maybe I do a Devo. I listen to a little bit of Christian music, maybe. I move on. But God's like, no, it's the heart. I want you to love the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to really love your neighbor as yourself. And let me tell you, that's difficult either. People are knuckleheads. If you're young, you might be thinking, oh, people are so wonderful. But as you get a little bit older, you're going to realize, oh, they're not so great. It's just the truth. People are very selfish and self-centered and sneaky, and it's going to get worse. So, and if And our hearts, if Jesus, if God is one, okay, in other words, the most important thing, right, then we need to be one with him. And we do. We need to be one with his heart, with love at the center, which means that's who we need to be as Christians, right? Notice also that Jesus is answering with the word of God. This Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, or 4 to 7 roughly, and Leviticus 19, 18, whenever he's questioned, and honestly, if I can encourage you, when you're asked, you don't have to say, well, chapter 5, verse 4 of this, but you can share the heart of the word of God. When people ask you about God, bring the word up. Bring it in casual conversation. You should know it so well, or get to know it so well, that it just comes out of you. Right? The overflow of your heart, the mouth is going to speak. What are you focused on? What's coming out of your heart? What's coming out of your mouth? That's an indication of how you're doing with the Lord. Something to think about. Now listen, I like this. Oh, wait a minute. There's something else I wanted to say. Yeah, no, I'm not going to say. I like this little heart there because if you'll notice, it's got the fingerprint of love. Mark chapter 12, 32 to 33 continues. And it says this. The guy says, well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that there is one and there is no other but him. Oh, I hate when it does this for some reason. Shoot. It says, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings, or what does it say after that? Or the sacrifices, yes. For some reason, it went off the page. Now, he's saying, look, you loving God and loving others, everything's going to flow from that. It's more important than anything any religious ritual you do, whatever it is. And Hosea 6:6, I like how the New Living Translation puts it, says the same thing back in the Old Testament. God says, oh, look, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. They were all into just, you know, they'd tithe the little tiniest mint and then they'd treat people like a jerk. Listen, I don't even know how to say this, but you could do the best religious job. There are people, Pastor Gary, you're doing such a great job trying to focus and get in the prayer room, the church already, you know, people, greeting people. However, if you're a jerk to people, what does it matter? George, in the back, you're doing such a great job getting everything ready for online, the visual, the audio, all this stuff. It's a lot of pressure continually. It's to get here an hour or two earlier. But if you're not loving to people and patient with people and kind with people, it's for nothing. Anthony, you're doing a great job with security. It's the same thing. Thank you for that. But you know what? If we're not patient with others, if we're not taking time to listen to them or genuinely caring about them, what is it for? Listen, we appreciate you guys. You guys are faithful with tithing in the back. We don't take up offerings. Nobody's packing baskets. Nobody's manipulating you. There's a little bird box in the back. You guys faithfully put money in there. Thank you for that. And it's genuinely appreciated. But if you're putting lots of money in there and you can still treat people like a jerk and do the live however way you want, don't do it. He says, well said. I love how that guy says that, that scribe. He says, well said. He said, now to me, praising Jesus publicly, listen, for his answer in front of all these people and all these Pharisees, as the Pharisees are trying to trap him, leads me to conclude that his question was genuine. He's praising him. He's like, I don't care if the Pharisees are trying to kill you. I it was well said. You're right on money. That's the right heart. And when it says to love them with all your heart, with your understanding, your strength, and look, your heart in Hebrew, the Hebrew understanding, it's the core of a person's identity. Identify as this, I identify as that, I identify as, you know what I identify as? A child of the living God. That's who I identify at. And if you're a Christian here, that is your identity. You're not Brett the air conditioning guy. You're Brett the child of God. You're not Pastor Gary the dollar stretcher. You're not Neely the teacher. You get what I'm saying, right? You're not even Laura, the manager of North River Care Pregnancy Center. You are Laura, the beloved child of the living God. Does that make sense? He is more important than any of this. We got to keep it in the right perspective. It's the source of all the thoughts and the words and the actions. That's what he's saying. That's why it's always the heart is always the most important for the Lord. You can put on a show. I can do that. You can do that. It's a waste of time. What does it matter? That's why God tells you and me in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You can shut down. You can get religious. You can do things out of guilt, out of compulsion, out of wanting to look good. No, guard it. Make sure your heart is right with the Lord. Everything that God does is even when he disciplines us, is love. Listen, because God is love. It's not just that he has love. He is love. The Bible says this. If you were with us when we went through 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, whoever does not love, right? That's how we're to be known as Christians. Whoever does not love does not even know God, because God is love. Look at, I know pastors who I don't think are saved. I know priests that aren't saved. Listen, you can call yourself whatever you want, but you're going to know by the love that they have for the Lord and that they love that they have for others. I like this next verse in 1 John. This is in 4:20. It says, if someone says, I love God, but hates fellow believers, that person is a for if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? It says this, and this is in 1 John 4:11, the King James Version. I think it says it the best. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen? I like Chuck Swindoll. If you don't know him, he's a pastor, an author. He was the head of Dallas Theological Seminary for a while. I don't know if he still is, but he says, other than your love for God, he said, the distinguishing mark of a Christian, the sign that sets you apart from the world and demonstrates you're really a part of God's family, is not the gold cross hanging around your neck. It's not the fish sticker stuck in the back of your car. It's not a well-worn Bible tucked under your arm. It's not your baptismal certificate or your seminary degree. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is that he or she has Christ-like love for others. If not, you should be growing in that. And Mark 12:34 goes on to say, hey, Jesus says, like, you're almost there, man. You seem to have the right heart. You're a religious guy. You're almost there. He says, verse 34, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And then from then on, no one dared him ask any more questions. He's getting them all right. Ooh, we better stay away from this guy. The Pharisees, we can't trick him. You know what's one of the saddest things to be? For a while, this was me. See, I went to church almost all my life. I was not far from the kingdom of God. I went to church on my own. Listen, as a young, if no one else went, I would go. I would stand up, sit, kneel. But you know what? I didn't know God. I knew a little bit about him. Do you know what I'm saying? But I didn't know him personally, intimately. He didn't change my heart, my life, the way I think, the way I live. This is actually a sad place to be. And I just want to say, if there's anyone here, you may be close. Close doesn't count. You need to be born again. You need to receive him as Lord and Savior. And that's when everything changes. The Bible says, look, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Gary's a car guy. Where's your ultimate heart at? It's not in sheet metal. That's right. Listen, here are some questions, okay? Listen, where is your treasure really at? We need to examine it. And let me tell you, if you're here saved, sometimes we need to re-examine where our heart's at, because our hearts can grow cold. I'm just being honest. And if you don't know that, I'm telling you that as far as I'm concerned. I can grow cold for me too. But here are some questions that are going to help evaluate your love life when it comes to loving God. Okay? Here are some questions that will help. This is, I'm not going to answer them for, this is just something you think about. Okay? Help evaluate how your love life with God is going. I mean, really. First, is the Lord really the passion of my life? Is he? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your kids? Is it your house? Is it your job? Is it your hobbies? Is it your car, your boat, your golf game, your... Is he really the passion of your life? You have to examine that. Now, I realize that not everybody likes to hear that. But that's the truth. We're here. You asked that question. I don't know the answer. I can't answer it for you. But that's a good question if you want to evaluate how your heart is really with the Lord. Is the Lord really the passion of my life? Here's another question that would help. Do I have a deep, abiding, and that just means steadfast, like prolonged love for my Lord? That's another good question. Listen, I've watched people, I love Jesus, during a worship song or raising their hand, but is it abiding love? Is it continuing? They can be all this way Sunday, and then Monday, they're right back in the pit in the mud. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows. God does. Do I have an abiding love for my Lord? Here's another one. Am I loyal to my God with an exclusive love? For those of you who don't know, I'm married to this lovely young lady here, Lisa. Woo-woo. What are you woo-wooing my wife, man? what would you guys think, just being honest here, if I was dating around? I mean, no, I love my wife, but I'm just dating around a bit, you know, some other women. What would you think? But I tell you, I love my wife completely. But I'm seeing a few other women on the side, you know. What would you think of my loyalty? Right? At least it'd be like, the point is, right? We need to be loyal to the Lord in that same way and not, do you know what I'm trying to say? Dating around. If you guys have read this book, not a fan, again, dare you to read it. It'll help you define your relationship with God. Okay. We've given away probably a couple hundred in the last few weeks. Here, I'm giving it to you guys. Congratulations. So, not that you need it or don't need it. I'm just telling you. I'm getting it out of my hands. Okay, so here's the next question. Do I resist or oppose anything that seeks to harm my Lord or dishonor his name or his word? Listen, if something's dishonoring his name, we had to turn off a show last night. It's a dumb thing. I like anime cartoons. We had to turn something off. We made a decision. They were purposely promoting ungodly stuff. It wasn't like they threw it in there and they were continuing. It was a purposeful thing and we're like, dang it. Click. I liked it. I so like the character development. I like the... But you know what? No, I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to go see that movie that's, I want to, but no. Here's another one. Here's number five. Do I still enjoy spending time with my Lord? Do you like doing a devotional in the morning? Do you like sitting with him? sometimes that can be like, oh, now I'm too busy, God. I'm too busy teaching, pastoring to be reading your word every morning. I challenged the youth here on Wednesday. You got your phone. How about this? Before you even do anything on that phone in the morning, before you check your messages, before you hit that game and do your food store, whatever you do on that game, check the news, the weather, anything, how about you read a psalm or a proverb? How about you read Proverbs chapter 1 today? And then Proverbs chapter 2 tomorrow. How about you read that first? You start seeking him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, because all the rest will be added unto you. How about you make that a thing for you? I can't make you do it. But you know, that stupid phone is really addicting. So, and I'm not even saying it's bad. Like, technology is evil. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's easy to get sucked in, right? So how about before you do anything on that phone, you make a little covenant with your eyes that I'm going to seek him first. Just pick a psalm. You got 150 of them. Just pick a number. You got a Proverbs. There's 30. We got one for every day of the month. How about that? Start there. Okay, let me keep going. Here's another one. Do I purposely do things on a daily basis to please my Lord and increase his joy? Can I tell you what? I don't know about you. I look for ways to do that. How can I encourage someone in the Lord today? I want to. That's my goal. Whether it's the waitress or can I pray for somebody? Can I encourage somebody? Can I drop a track somewhere? There's tracks in the back. They're free. You can take them. Can I email somebody a little encouragement or a prayer or a scripture picture or something? Are you looking for ways to do that purposely? Because it brings joy to your heart. Listen, if you can grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, right? You can grieve God's heart. You can also make him joyful by what you do. Isn't that cool? So how about you're purposeful in your life? Just a thought. Okay? Here's two more. Two more and then I'm done. Then you could, everybody who's like, now everybody's crossing their arms like, it wasn't me. I didn't know. But, you know, I'm not judging. This is something you ask yourself. I don't know. Do I tell others of what the Lord has done for me? Do you know what I realize? I'm embarrassed to say this. I haven't been doing that lately. I know what the Lord has done for me. He's done it. He continues to do it. I feel great. I don't need to. I'm being selfish. I need to be telling others of what Lord continually. Here's another one. Do I tell my Lord that I love him and talk to him and pray as much as I can? Do you talk to him? Do you pray? I do that all the time. He wants a real, and it's not a monologue. If you learn to hear his voice, it's a dialogue. Let's continue. Mark chapter 12, 35 says this. It says, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? Now, hey, Pastor Gary, can I ask how long I've been teaching? How long? Oh, boy. Now, the Jewish people in Jesus' day believed that the Messiah would be David's son, or more to point, that he would be coming from the line of King David. Now, the Jews revered people like King Solomon, King David. They were, I don't even know how to say that, they were more than heroes. Okay, Lord, tell me not to use that illustration. I can't even picture anybody in your mind in America that, you know, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, somebody, but whoever we would revere, these guys were more than that. And so they were supposed to come from the lineage of David. Now, the Pharisees, they were actually agreed on this, and they were correct. But their understanding was incomplete, for the Messiah was also David's Lord. That's King David, in case you didn't know. Mark, now I don't have any close-up shots. That's just a... Mark 12, 35 to 37 goes, David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord, God, said to my Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. Now, first, when it says speaking by the Holy Spirit, that tells me and reminds me that this is in the Old Testament, by the way, That tells me that everything, Old, New Testament and Old Testament, is inspired by God. That's what God's word says. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And that passage is from Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, said to my... It's the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. And Psalm 110, verse 1, is actually quoted or alluded to 33 times in the New Testament. Now, just days before, people were recognizing him as the Messiah, and they were calling him Son of David. That was like a messianic title, Son of David. You can see it in Mark chapter 10, 47 and 48, Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, and even if you're with us as we went through the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, 16, Jesus says of himself, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And in the Hebrew culture, a son was always beneath or subject to their dad. But David is calling the Messiah Lord. So even when he's doing this, they're thinking, well, he's going to be under David, this Messiah. And he's trying to tell them, nope, you guys got the wrong idea. He is more than David's son. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. He's talking like almost like deity is what he's doing. And the word Lord in Greek is kurios, and it means master, one who has power over another. It has implications of deity. So the first Lord here where it says the Lord said in the original Hebrew is Jehovah or Yahweh. So Yahweh said to my Lord, which is Adonai, and that refers to, so the first Lord is God the Father. The second Lord is God the Son, right, in Hebrew, okay. And since David calls the Son my Lord, he's attesting to his deity. So he's saying the Messiah, the Son of David, is going to be Lord. He's going to be more than just some guy. He's going to be something more, just like Jesus was saying. And I'll finish with these last verses because I think that's all we have time for. Mark chapter 12, 38 to 40 ends with this. As Jesus was teaching them, he gave them this warning. And honestly, it's the exact same warning that I would give you today. It's just as applicable, if not more so, than it is today. It might look a little different than what's going to be said here, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. He says, as Jesus taught, he said, I want you to watch out for the teachers of the law or the pastors or the priests. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Now, first off, when it says watch out, some of you guys like this stuff when I do this, some don't. In Greek, it's in the present imperative tense, which means it's calling for continual attention. It's like you need to continually discern. You need to continually perceive so that you won't be fooled. Watch out for these pastors. Watch out for these priests. Watch out for these teachers of the law so you're not fooled. And it says that they walk around in flowing robes. And the idea here is they have like a look at me attitude, like, my, aren't I so spiritual? And they like to be seen. They like to be noticed. Everybody knows what a peacock is in Florida, right? Right? The beautiful bird, right, with the bright blue feathers or whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, some of you are looking at me like, what? I shouldn't. But anyway, right? And then you see the little peacock, it's like, what's the big deal? It's a little bird with a weird long neck, and then all of a sudden you see the plume, and it opens up, and this beautiful thing. That's kind of like what they're doing. They're strutting around, like, look at me. I'm so spiritual. What?
Scream really loud.
Yes. Yes. And they're like, look at me. See me. See how spiritual and wonderful I am. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I am a sinner like me, saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. That's what they're doing. They're showing off. They're doing it to be seen. They're doing it to be noticed. A lot of these, words tell me not to say that exactly, so I'm going to be quiet there. But there you go. That's what they're doing. So let me continue. And it says, they love to be greeted with respect in public in the marketplaces. The idea is they demanded recognition from these people as holy men. Oh, so nice. It's good for you to see me. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, you didn't call me pastor? Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you. It's always, oh, nice to see you too. You know what I mean? They wanted to be seen by men instead of being genuine. God never wants that. He wants your heart. Does that make sense, guys? They wanted to be recognized for... And now, that's really wonderful when you call me pastor. I'm thankful. But you know what? When it comes to it, I'm just a person like you and me. We're the same. We need to love the Lord with all our hearts, encourage one another. Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. That's a fantastic question, which I'm going to answer momentarily. When it says the most important seats, they like the most important seats at the churches. That's what they were talking about, the synagogues, and the places of honor, banquets. That demonstrates that these holy men, I got that in quotes, insisted that public, you know, almost like a public reverence and the perks and privileges. It'd almost be like, oh, Pastor Gary, oh, I didn't realize you were here. Neely, get up. We got Pastor Gary here. Oh, are you a big spender? Oh, you get out. Move over and you can have the more comfy seat. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's a show. It's a junk. It's ugly and it's ungodly, and they feel like they deserve these perks and privileges. You know, I need the most important seat at the party. Hey, you're coming over to our house for baptism. You know what? Sit wherever you like. I don't have any special. Well, I do have a special seat, but that's where I get comfy. But there, it's not like, you know what? No one here is going to be treated better. Pastor Gary's going to come. He's going to be treated exactly like anyone else. We're all treated the same. That's how it should be. Okay? And then when it says, this is a good question, Brett, devour widows' houses, the idea is that they manipulated others for financial gain. If you've been around, especially the poor and desperate, here's the deal. You should tithe. This is where you get taught, you should tithe here every month. You should put money in that little, and because we use it, and we need it. But God provides for it. You're never going to be manipulated and cajoled or forced into giving or guilted into it. You want to give, that's between you and God. We would appreciate it. It's going to be great. We're going to use it. We're thankful for it. We can do more stuff with it. But we're not going to manipulate you. I feel somebody here is going to write a $20,000. No. No, $50,000. Brothers and sisters, you know how they sometimes will bring up a big check, $100,000 to the church, $1 million. Oh, my goodness. Listen, the Bible says don't let your right hand know what the left hand's doing. You give in secret because you're giving to the Lord. Does that make sense? These guys were manipulating these widows because they could to get the money or some property or things like that out of them. It's the ultimate disgusting. Where's my little clicker? Speaking of...
It's right there.
Where is it?
Next to the one.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Thanks, my ADD self. Did that answer your question, Brett?
Yes.
Yeah. And for a show, they prayed long prayers. So the relationship with God was more of a show, showing off, than it was anything of substance. And I tell you what, that show-off thing works. You can show off, and you can be pastor, capped teeth, and gelled hair. And you could be the coolest Bible study leader around. You can wear the suits and the... Listen, none of that none of that really matters. It's not a matter of showing off for the people or doing it for a show. You're doing it because you love the Lord. And that's what we have to be about. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay. Pastor, how long? Yeah. All right. We'll close here. I'll get the last few verses next week. I'm sorry. I can't finish it off. But, yeah. So, Lord, I want to say thank you, Lord, that you loved me. Lord, I love you, but I know I love you because you first loved me. Lord, that's what your word says, Lord. I don't deserve that love. I certainly didn't honor you for most of my young life, Lord, and yet you loved me anyway, and you saved me. You reached in the muck and mire, and you put me on the solid rock of Christ Jesus, Lord. And I pray right now for those who are not far away, that maybe are coming here or listening online, and they're starting to get their hearts stirred, or they're even feeling convicted, or they're being drawn to you. I pray, Lord God, that you would save them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And I pray if there's anyone here whose heart's maybe gotten a little bit hard or whatever, you would stir them up to love and good deeds, Lord, that you would help each one of us to check our hearts, Lord, to make sure that they're right with you, that our love life with you is putting you first, to love you with all of our heart, with our minds, our soul, and our strength, and then to love others as ourselves, Lord God. I ask that you would do that in each one of our hearts, Lord. Please, Father, that you could flow into us and out of us like you should. I thank you for everyone here, Lord, and every person listening online. Bless them with that examining of our hearts, Lord God, and help us to get it right with you, Lord God, so we could bear the fruit that you would have us to bear. And we ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're welcome over to our house afterwards for baptism if you would like to support those being baptized. God bless you and have a great day.